We're doing the Rashot Aran. We're up to page Shin Samach Vav. And the Ran had explained that being that logic does not support this idea that Hashem is in touch with us, that Hashem commands us, that Hashem cares if we listen or don't listen. That's why Hashem himself had to tell us these two mitzvos. ואפילו תאמר שהשכל עם היותו חושב שאין השם יתברך מצווה ולא מזהיר אותנו ושאין רואי שנעבוד אותו על הצד שנעבדנו אנחנו עם כל זה לא ישפוט שרואי לעבוד עבודה זרה. And even if you would say, logic dictates that Hashem doesn't command us and doesn't care, but why should I worship idols? אף על פי כן היה מנחך שנשמע מצוות לא יהיה לך אלוקים מפי הגבורה. It was still important to hear the commandment, don't worship other gods from Hashem. Even if you don't agree with me, says the Ran, where I said that there are forces out there and using our own logic, we would come to the conclusion we should worship those forces. So the Ran says, if not for the commandment, then there's good reason to be a pagan. That the Ran says, okay, Rambam disagrees with me, other commentaries disagree with me. Even if you disagree with me, we still need this commandment of lo yiyeh lecha elokim acherim al panai, don't worship other forces. Vehu. And the reasoning is as follows. שכבר כתבתי שהמצווה הראשונה להאמין שהשם יתברך שאת ליבו אלינו מצווה ומזהיר אותנו. I already wrote that the first mitzvah, the first of the Ten Commandments is to believe that Hashem cares about us, He's commanding us. ואין ספק שהשכל יגזור הפך זה וישים זה לליהות. And undoubtedly, our mind says, that's counterintuitive. Our mind thinks, if Hashem cares about you, then He's not perfect, then He's lacking. How could it be that He's attached? וכיוון שהיה זה מן האחר שנשמע זה מפי הגבורה, and being that it does not jive with us necessarily, it is not necessarily our intuition to say, yeah, Hashem pays attention and He cares and He's listening and He's involved. So you had to hear that from Hashem. לפי שאין ראוי שנאמין מזה זולתו, because if anyone else would say it, we wouldn't have believed him. We would have said, why? If Hashem's perfect, why would He talk to me? היה מן האחר שידבר השם יתברך עמנו כן, so then Hashem had to tell us, אנוכי, I am Hashem, your God on a personal level, I'm commanding you. הוא מחויב המציאות שמגיעים ממני אליכם מצוות ועזרות, and so I am giving you the commandments and the warning, עד שאני מצווה אתכם שלא תעשו דבר פלוני, to the point where I say, don't do this, and do that. ומכאן ואילך, from now on, now that you've heard me introduce myself, אחר שאתם יודעים בבירור שאני מצווה אתכם ומזהיר אתכם, Hashem says, I came to the down, so to speak, to earth, to talk to you and tell you, I'm the one commanding you, so that once you have that clarity, ראוי שתאמינו ביתר מצוות ועזרות לנביאי, so now you'll believe my prophets. Because if not for that, you would have said, why should I believe Moshe? It doesn't make sense. Ah, now I'm telling you, yes, I took you out of Egypt. I'm commanding you. So now you'll listen to the prophets. ונמצא שהוא מתחייב כפי טבע העניין שנשמע ממנו איזו מצווה הזרה קרובה לשכלו רחוקה. And so it would seem logical that Hashem says, I'm the one commanding you, whatever my prophets will tell you. But Hashem says, I'm commanding you, so I'll show you. Here's what I want of you. I'm going to give you commandments. So Hashem's going to give us a sampling, more logical, less logical. So Hashem chooses, He says, here's a sampling. I tell you, don't worship idols. That seems to be the more fitting commandment that Hashem should tell us directly. And certainly if you say it's a mitzvah that's logical, that Hashem says, I'm commanding you, so don't worship other beings, עד שנמשכו כל האומות אחריה. And the Ran says, I explained to you earlier that everyone was pagans, says the Ran. So it makes sense that when Hashem comes and says, I am your God, He will also be the one to tell us, don't do what they're doing. If the whole world saw success, you know, people wonder, why did the Jews follow the pagan ways? Why were the Jews adopting pagan practices throughout the period of the first temple? And I like to describe it with a story. Imagine that you're a Jew and you live in Tzfat, okay? And you're plowing your field and you're davening and you're bringing sacrifices, and one year you have a bad crop. And your next door neighbor, well, he sacrifices his third son to Zeus, And that year his crop does tremendously well. So you sit there and you look and you say, he's crazy, but he's got food. But he's crazy, but then how come he's got food? I'm hungry, but he's crazy. And your son looks at the neighbor and looks at you and says, I like Joe, his son, but he's got food. So how many years are you going to last, or how many generations are you going to last where your kid looks at the neighbor, and there will be times where he will be more successful? Hashem doesn't run a world where it's so obvious he sacrificed the son to Zeus, so that's it, his crops will fail. It doesn't work that way. Hashem does not run the world that way. So if your neighbors are doing it and you see successes, if the Arameans are succeeding in conquering the world and they're pagans, if you see that Sanherib is attacking and conquering country after country, and when he has one failing, so he goes to his God and says, I'm sorry, I should have sacrificed my son. I'm sorry, I'm going to take care of that. So it's difficult. That's how he got killed. And then his son Shar Etzer, Shalmaneser and Shar Etzer, they killed him because they heard he was going to sacrifice them. So, but it's hard. You grow up, you see the neighbor, and they seem to be doing okay. So why should I go Dad's way? You ask Dad, who are you worshiping? I don't see anyone. So he says, Hashem and Shemayim, he told us 10 commandments, especially if people weren't literate. They couldn't learn too much. It was tempting. Yeah?
You don't have to go back that far. Last century, in America, all these Eastern European Jews who came to the shores, I mean, they didn't sacrifice children, but they saw their, you know, with their garb and their Yiddish and their davening, their parents and grandparents, and they saw the opportunities for success, and they could still be Jewish. It wasn't like they didn't have to give it up. But so it's very, it seems very similar. The attraction of something else that you know, but you didn't have much education generally. You know.
Yeah.
I remember once you mentioned the fact that nowadays, especially with a lot of Hasidic inputs you have in mainstream Judaism, that we like to think that Hashem listens, and he's constantly listening to our prayers. He's always, and you raise the question or the possibility that might not be the way we think. That, you know, that means, Hashem's definitely all ears for me, and so that we have a hard time thinking that might be the other. And I'm just thinking about this thing we're saying about reading about the Ran, saying that the Ran seems to imply that, from my understanding, that this work was like all years, all the time. And I remember that once you raised this possibility that that's not the way it works. So did you think it's time to enter that? Or?
I'll just say in a nutshell that in regards to Hashgacha Pratit, so there's a big discussion among the Rishonim, among the commentaries. Rambam learns that it's even a machloket in the Gemara about the level of Hashgacha Pratit that the average Jew merits. Do we say, like one opinion says, that there isn't a blade of grass that doesn't have an angel corresponding to it, that Hashgacha Pratit goes down to the point where you stick your hand in your pocket, you take out the wrong coin, that was Hashgacha Pratit? Or do we say, which is one opinion in Talmud, or do we say that Hashem's interference, there's a slight difference between saying Hashem listens to your prayer and Hashem's interfering on behalf of your prayer. That's a little bit different. Will Hashem interfere on behalf of the average Joe? Can the average Joe say, I stuck my hand to the pocket, took out the wrong coin, must be I did something wrong? Or do we say, you're not on a level where Hashem will interfere on your behalf to the right and to the left? So there are different opinions. We feel better with the opinion, and that seems to be what's become accepted in Klal Yisrael, that says you're banging a nail into the door and you missed the nail and you hit your thumb. That was from above. You know, the Gemara says it. The Gemara says you don't, if you're wearing sandals and you walk into a table, you know, and you stub your toe, it didn't happen unless it was ordained in Shemayim. So that's one opinion. And that seems to be the opinion we're most comfortable with, but it's not the only opinion. But that's a different question than prayer. I'm saying prayer is another area. Yes, Daniel.
There's this nice quote with a lot of quotes of different rabbis, and one about prayer. I don't remember his name. He said, if you pray and you didn't get what you like, you say, God always listens, Hashem always listens to your prayer, if you didn't get what you prayed for, it was because the answer was no.
Oh, very nice.
So the answer is different.
Yeah, that's also a possibility. I'll tell you a nice line. I met a friend of mine yesterday, and he told me he was fired. And I stood there in stunned silence for a minute, because he's an educator, and I happen to know the work he does. I couldn't understand why anyone would fire him. And he said to me, just remember in life, when God kicks you, he's kicking you forward. He said, it means I got a better job. He had a job lined up for next year. And he said, if Hashem kicks you, he's always kicking you forward. He's not kicking you down. Okay. Let's just finish the paragraph. And that's why the Torah reiterates the warnings about Avodah Zarah over and over again. Because there was a logic, there was a reasoning that led the nations to Avodah Zarah. And that's why Hashem personally gave us that warning. The commandment, I'm the one commanding. That's Anochi Hashem Lokecha. And the warning. Yes?
Right, so I'm walking with this like yeshiva student a while ago. And anyway, so like there was a luminary above. I think it was the moon. He says, wow, what a pretty moon. And he says, hey moon, thanks a lot for being so pretty tonight. And he starts complimenting the moon. Starts talking to the moon.
That's not permissible. That's what we learned in the Ran, that Avodah Zarah is when we attribute personality to the forces that act. The moon does not want to shine. And when I say the moon, thank you. Thursday night. Let's continue. V'odianu b'parsha zo she'Hashem yitbarach lo yacher onesh aleh. And in this parasha, Hashem warns us that the punishment will be swift. The retribution will be close to immediate. Kmo she'amar ha'idoti v'chem ha'yom t'shmayim v'tarzi avot avidun maher. I'm warning you, Hashem says, that you will be banished quickly from the land. And the stress here is, don't assume I'm going to have patience. I will punish quickly. And even though this is one of the weightier transgressions in Torah, to serve an idol, Hashem over here tells us you can do tshuva, specifically on this avera. Because this avera is so weighty. That's why the Torah iterates over there. The Torah says, over there you will seek me out and you'll find me. And this is where we'll pick up. He says we have to pay attention. What does the Torah mean when you were there, you will seek me out and you will find me? What does that mean when you are there? So that's the point we'll pick up with Bezachim next week.